This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This is Issues 2025. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Matt Fouts, Director of Tanganyika Wildlife Park. Welcome to Issues 2025, Matt.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Good to have you on. The park is located on Wichita's western edge. For those who have never been there, is it considered part of Wichita or Goddard?
It is in Goddard.
It is in Goddard.
Like a mile from the city lines of Wichita, but we're in Goddard.
Well, give us some history, Matt. How long has the park been open?
So the park officially opened in August of 2008. So this is our 17th season. We're still a teenager, but my family and I, my family's been out there since 1985 is when we built our first barn. So we've been out there for 40 years breeding rare and endangered species. Just weren't open to the public till 2008.
Okay, so I guess I wasn't aware of that. And they actually were working with animals long before you opened the park up then, huh?
Yeah, definitely. So my father, Jim, you know, his dream was to build a world-class breeding facility for rare and endangered species. And so in 1985, he built the first barn out there and kind of started building his own collection of animals to do that purpose.
What kind of animals were they? Lions, tigers,
anything? Yeah, he first started out primarily, I think it was a lot of birds initially, but then more hoof stock. So if, you know, San Diego Zoo had extra gazelles or whatever it might be, he would find homes for them at other zoos. But through that process, he might be able to keep two or three here or there and start building his own collection of animals. I think we got our first tigers in 1987 or 88 maybe. So it wasn't too many years after that we got our first set of tigers.
But you don't have to answer this if you don't. Was it pretty lucrative or was it something that you had to struggle financially?
I mean, it definitely was a struggle financially. I don't know that it was that lucrative.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up in a double wide trailer for a good part of my childhood and stuff. So it's not, you know, my parents have a nice house now, but for a good part of my childhood, yeah, we definitely didn't have a lot.
Somebody there had a dream, maybe.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. When you opened the park, how many animals did you actually start with then?
We probably had 150 to 200 animals maybe at that time. And then, you know, now we're sitting around 500 animals on average.
How big is it acre-wise, the park?
So,
is it a quarter section?
So the part that people access currently is about 25 acres. And then if you included some of the breeding areas, like the clouded leopard breeding area, the cheetah breeding area, that kind of stuff, it's about 39 acres. So not quite, but we have about 100 acres total to expand onto.
How many visitors does the park entertain in a year, Matt?
So the last few years, we've done around 130 to 140,000 visitors every year. This year, with the model change, we're expecting to do maybe 40,000 visitors, so significantly less.
What do you mean the model change?
So the park this year's changed our format to, we call it the destination model, but it's an all-inclusive model. where you come out and you have unlimited feedings to the park. You have unlimited food and drinks, so you get breakfast in the morning, you get lunch. We have snacks throughout the day, includes fountain beverages, and then a couple of alcoholic drinks if you're doing single day admission. And so a much different model than just before, where you know you got a few feedings, you had to buy your food in addition to it. There's a lot of, you know, pay for this, pay for this, pay for this. Now it's kind of all inclusive.
Okay. And so you expect the attendance won't be as high then, huh?
Yeah, so with that model, that meant part of it was we wanted to really spend a lot more time and really connect with the guests that come, so fewer guests to the park, fewer lines at the feeding stations. And so to balance that out, we raised the price, which then also meant, you know, not as many people were going to be coming because while they like the park, they don't maybe like it that much, and so they're not going to pay that price and whatnot. So,
now, do you stay open year-round?
We don't. We close in November when the weather typically starts to get cold, and then we open up whenever spring break is for most of the schools in the area. So we're closed for almost 5 months, which is, it's, you know, every year it's a matter of survival. Since we don't receive any subsidies like most of the attractions in town, we have to raise every dollar we need when we're open in order to survive those winter months.
How many people do you employ?
So we have
probably won't employ as many this year.
Yeah, actually, we have the same number of employees. That's the thing that's kind of crazy. There's a lot of fixed costs associated with what we do, because regardless of whether we have one visitor or 1,000 visitors in a day, there's the same number of animals to care for, and they don't care how many people we have. They don't eat less if we have fewer people. They don't, you know, make less of a mess if there's fewer people. So there's a lot of fixed expense in what we do in providing world-class care for these animals. And so we have almost 60 full-time employees, and then we have about 70 to 80 seasonal employees on top of that. So we peak out around 130, 140 employees, different employees throughout the year.
Do you host school tours, or are you involved with the schools?
We do some school tours. We're doing fewer this year. We did limit it to one school group per day and no more than 100 kids because they get to do all the feedings when they come, and they, you know, they get some snacks and stuff. So it's a little bit different experience for them than what they've typically had at Tanganyika, or what they might experience at, you know, Sedgwick County or wherever else. So, but we also wanted to, you know, when you have 300 kids in the park, it just creates a different atmosphere. And for the people that maybe spent $100, $150 to come to the park or more, we didn't want to take away from their experience. And so it's been definitely, this is our first year doing it, trying to find where that balance is going to be of, we still want to expose as many kids as we can to these amazing experiences, but we also need to balance that with the people that are paying significantly more to have that day.
Is the park available for any private parties?
We certainly are. We're still doing some weddings. We are really focusing in on corporate functions. So we have park buyout options, like CUA has bought out the park the last couple of years. And so that's an incredible value for their members. They sell tickets to their members and they come out. And in that model, it's more of like what you would have typically experienced with, you get to pick a few feedings and you have to, you know, buy your food if you want it, that kind of thing. It's not all inclusive in those situations. But yeah, we do corporate functions in the evenings, or you can buy out the park for part of the day, and those are definitely something that's doing well as well.
What's the park's most popular attraction?
Ooh, that's a tough question right there. I would say where we get the most feedback is our experiences, the behind-the-scenes experiences, the meet-and-greet experiences, because those are typically in smaller groups, and you get to spend a lot more one-on-one time with actual animals. The most popular, you know.
Now, the animals aren't listening, so they don't care.
Right, that's right. Well, I'm just trying to think, like, you know, how would you define popular? But, you know, the things that book out the most are penguin swims. People come from internationally, definitely all over the country, but we've had international people come and do penguin swims because it's the only place I know of in the world where you can swim with the penguins.
Really? You can do that?
Mm-hmm. So that, from that standpoint, we're pulling people from all over to do that experience. But as far as just booking out, you know, our sloth behind the scenes, our otter meet and greets are incredibly popular. And I think once the otter swims come online later this year, those are going to be incredibly popular too. We already have a really big waiting list.
I see a danger in that swimming with the penguins, because I would assume penguins could all swim, but you have to keep an eye on those or human beings. Is it very deep water then?
No, so you're depending how tall you are, it's like waist to chest deep. And so, you know, you don't want your face down near them necessarily.
Yeah.
But they'll swim all around you, and you'll have like little toys that you can kind of get them to follow along. And they do feel on you a little bit. But we have over 60 penguins, I believe, in our colony. And there's only a handful of them that actually get to swim. So we vet the penguins, because there's some of them that if you put in there, they would be, they're just mean, and they would be biting a bunch. Yeah. So we hand select which ones get to go swimming.
Now, are you breeding them also to go to other zoos?
Yeah, so they are an endangered species. And the reason we have 60 is because we've been incredibly successful at breeding them, almost too successful from the standpoint of, you know, once you breed them, you obviously need to find a new home for them and mix them with other penguin species, their population, and we've had trouble placing them. So we've had to kind of back down the breeding a little bit. We are still breeding them, but maybe not as at full force, if you will.
One of the animals I found when I was at the park, I don't know, I'm fascinated by giraffes. Do you still have giraffes?
Yeah, we actually have one of the largest collection of giraffes in the United States.
Really? How many do you have then?
So it bounces. I think we have like 17 or 18 at the moment.
You do? That many?
Yeah, so, and we have, I think, three or four more due this year, but then some of the babies will leave. So, you know, we kind of ebb and flow, I would say, somewhere between 14 and 18 a good part of the time. But we actually have two herds now. We have two separate herds.
You have to have a pretty big area for that, for giraffes?
Not too bad. I mean, the barn obviously has to be very tall, and then, indoor space, you got to have some space there. But it's with all the breeding we do with the giraffes especially, the new barn was a necessary thing, and so they'll go out into our new safari park that we're looking to build in the future.
I've heard when a giraffe gives birth, it's really something to see.
It's quite amazing. I've seen it a few times.
Somebody drops about 6 feet.
Yeah, it's just slide right down and 6 feet, and you know, and they have to get up within 24 hours to start eating. You know, I mean, we're just, when you look at what most animals have to do compared to what us humans have to do, we're pretty weak. Like, you know, we don't walk for like 10 months. I don't even know what it is. My kids are older now, but you know, they're having to walk within 24 hours, a lot of them, or cling to their mother like within, you know, days if they're a primate, that kind of thing. Like we're a bit bunch of wusses.
How about veterinarians? Do you have people on staff or people who come in?
So we have a contract vet, Heartland Veterinary. They've been our contract vet for a long time, and that's what most zoos around the country have. You definitely have to get to a certain size, like Sedgwick County, where it makes sense to have a vet full-time.
Full-time, yeah.
Yeah, so, but we, you know, we have monthly checkups or biweekly checkups, and then we have a communication system where our chief of care is pretty much communicating with the vet daily on anything that's happening, and we're sending them pictures and things. So it's almost like having a vet, but they're just remote, right? Their office is remote. And so, that's been able to service all our needs. There's been a few instances where we've had, you know, we had to take an animal offsite to their clinic, or there was one great case where a giraffe was giving birth and it was breech.
Ugh.
And long story short, we weren't able to, we needed to try and pull it, and we weren't able to save the calf. We had to anesthetize, like knock down the giraffe to pull the baby. Mm-hmm. And Sedgwick County Zoo sent their vet and anesthesiologist, and were able to assist us with that procedure. And again, we weren't able to save the baby, but we were able to save the mom. And it was an incredible opportunity to be able to work with them and to be able to save that animal.
You're listening to Issues 2025 on the Odyssey radio stations, and our guest is Matt Fouts, director of Tanganyika Wildlife Park in Goddard. Well, you talked about the giraffes. Do you have any monkeys? Do you have any primates?
We have quite a few primates, actually. I think we may have about 100 primates at the park. So,
can people interact with them at all?
So the lemur island, you can go out on the lemur island and they'll sit on your lap and you can feed them a crazin. So that's definitely one of our most popular animal feeding stations, if not the most popular.
I've seen that little animal, but you're not allowed to pet.
Yeah, you're not supposed to touch them in that instance. And then, but we do have a meet and greet experience with ruffed lemurs, so a little bit different species of lemur, where there's the potential to have them on you as well. And then we also have an owl monkey, I think, that we've been doing an experience with. So that's pretty cool.
I've already talked about the penguins. And tell me a little bit about the otter experience. What's that like?
So the otter meet and greet, we have a room where we do a lot of the different animal meet and greets. And so the we bring the otters in there, and you get to assist in some training with the otters. We also have an otter painting experience where you work with the otters using a target pole and stuff, and they paint on a canvas that you get to keep. So that's a separate experience that we have. A lot of times you'll be sitting on the ground, and maybe they'll walk across your lap and different things like that.
The rhino, how many rhinos do you have?
We have 6 rhinos.
When you go to sell one or send one to another zoo, but that's quite a process. Get them in a big trailer?
Yeah, they go in a big crate, and then, we load them into a trailer. We actually have a trailer that's designed for it, but depending on how many we're sending or whatever, we've also used semi-trailers and whatnot. So we actually just recently, we had our first baby Indian rhino a little over a year ago. And Marjan was his name, and he just recently left within this last month to go to a new zoo in Michigan. And so, but he was quite a bit smaller compared to some of our other rhinos.
It's a very scary looking animal. but as far as its disposition, is it a gentle creature?
They can be, right? So it just depends. Like all animals, your house cat or different dogs, like they have different personalities. And so, I would say our black rhinos, they're kind of like big puppy dogs in general. They'll come over and they like to be scratched on, and they like to be fed some alfalfa and whatnot. And so it doesn't mean you're going to put one on a leash and try to walk it around or anything. They have pretty good temperaments. They don't have great peripheral vision, so they can spook easy. So you have to be conscious about any of that. They're really great animals.
How do you weigh one?
That's a good question. We're not set up at the moment for that. But for instance, like giraffe, which are obviously big and clunky and not easy. Like we have a squeeze chute that we have them walk over, and it has a scale built into the floor of it.
Gotcha.
So we'll get them to pause in the chute. And because we do a lot of training with the animals, like target training and different things to get them to exhibit behaviors that you want. So we do a lot of that. And the keeper team has them trained to stand on that scale so we can get their weights. But we don't have one, I don't believe, for rhinos currently.
Tell me about the big cats. What kind of big cats do you have out there?
So we have a big collection of big cats. We have lions. We have these beautiful lions. They're unfortunately off exhibit. You have to go on a behind the scenes tour to see them, but you get to feed them on that tour, which is pretty awesome. We have a Mer leopard, which is one of the rarest big cats in the world. We have a big collection of cheetahs. So we do a lot of cheetah breeding, a lot of clouded leopard breeding, a lot of snow leopard breeding. And then we have some small cats as well.
How do you keep them getting out?
You build enclosures, obviously, that are going to hold them in. We are an accredited institution. We're accredited by the Zoological Association of America, and they have standards in above what USDA has, I guess, regulations that you have to meet, and then our accrediting body has standards that are even more strict that we meet. And so, just follow the standards.
You got all these animals you're mentioning. I know some of them are pretty sharp about probably be an escape artist, but I never hear much about, like a police or a sheriff alert today. We got lions running out by the park.
Right.
Seems like you've got a pretty good record keeping them in there.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously the goal, right? That's never a good thing. I think if you were to look nationally, too, at most of the incidences that have occurred where someone got hurt or maybe even killed or whatnot, it was almost always human error. Someone left a lock undone. Somebody stuck their hand over a barrier and did something they shouldn't have done.
Yeah.
And so almost all the incidences are due to human error, right? Not because an exhibit wasn't designed well enough or whatever.
Something that I don't have much interest in is reptiles. Do you do any reptiles, snakes, alligators, anything like that?
So we do have an albino alligator named Luna, and she's
how long has she been there?
We've had her since 2000 and maybe 10.
I'm going to say, I think I've seen that.
Uh-huh. So she came, I was trying to remember when Katrina was, because her parents disappeared after at Katrina, So she was the last albino alligator to be born for a really long time. There's been some since, but she'll be leaving here in the next few weeks. So if there's any Luna fans out there, they definitely want to come see her the next couple weeks. But we also have a big Burmese python that's albino. It's yellow. His name is Raw. He's actually in an exhibit in the men's restroom in our splash park. So
what? Pardon me.
Yep. So there's a giant, the wall in one of the restrooms is just a big glass wall, and Raw's in that enclosure.
He's not going around in the...
No, he's not just roaming around the bathroom. But yeah, so he you can see him when you're, I guess, a male in at the splash park. But we do use him for experiences. We have, every now and then you have an opportunity where you can do a meet and greet with Raw. So that's a pretty cool one. But beyond that, we don't have a lot of reptiles.
What's his name? Raw?
Raw, like the sun god, Raw.
Oh, R-A. Okay. Yep. Okay. And he's yellow because uh-huh. I've seen one of those. How long is he?
I think he's like 14 feet right
Ooh,
now.
He's big.
Yeah.
So you go to pick him up. He's a pretty
Yeah, yeah. We always have two or three keepers because, I mean, if you've ever felt a snake, it's just like all muscle. It's really cool feeling. I know it kind of creeps a lot of people out, but if you don't just touch them, you know, that leathery feel,
yeah.
But if you kind of really like grip them or feel them, it's just all muscle and it's kind of, I think it's pretty cool. But yeah, he's massive and he's a constrictor as well. So he's just really strong. So we usually have two or three people to be able to handle him.
You ever find him trying to wrap himself around?
I mean, they do kind of curl around you some. Some is just that's what they would do on trees in the Amazon and whatnot. So some of that is just how they would move or that kind of thing. But no, I've never had him like completely try to wrap around a couple people and constrict or anything.
I'm not going to ask you what you feed that thing.
Well, that's, you know, that's where the school groups come handy.
Yeah. So. All right. Let's see. Tell me about the gift shop. Because I've been there, and there's some pretty interesting and neat stuff in the gift shop.
Yeah, you know, I think we have an excellent gift shop. There's a lot of things geared towards adults too, like really good adult gifts as well. Lindley, our COO, has taken over the buying for the gift shop, and she has a really awesome collection of things in there. I think it's even changed a little bit this year with the new model change. I'd highly encourage people to come. Well, you exit through the gift shop, so that part's easy.
Go.
But yeah, definitely check out the selection. We've got some really great, you know, the normal typical plush and a few toys, but there's a lot of really great adult gifts, either for you or for to give to people in the gift shop.
Now, you mentioned, of course, the model, but is there anything else new at the park that you want to talk about today?
I mean, the biggest thing is obviously the model change, you know, but I think we've had an element of this, but what we're really, you know, hoping for, and I think the new model is going to allow us to really capitalize on, is this concept of carefree timelessness, right? Where you come out and you just spend time with your family and you don't have to worry about what are we going to do for lunch and what are we going to do, you know, like all these things. You can just come out and just be with your family without having to worry so much about times and then really connect with them, but also really connect with the natural world, right? We want mom and dad to participate in the feedings, or grandma and grandpa. We want them to participate in those experiences and share in those memories and experiences with their family. And I think the new model is really going to allow us to facilitate that as we move forward.
To access that, to get in touch, do you go to the webpage then?
So you can buy tickets online just at twpark.com. And actually, that's the only way to buy them is to buy them in advance online.
Sure.
So yeah, we want people to do that. I think, you know, and then locals, I mean, one thing that I think people saw the new pricing, it's $100 on the shoulder season, $149 in the peak. What I think a lot of the media didn't do the best job at was saying, hey, there's also a locals discount that's 40% off, right? So locals are never going to pay those prices. And so, you know, if you think about last year, we had an unlimited feeding pass that was, I think, $65 or $70. This year, if you come on the shoulders, it's $99, less 40%. So you're looking at around $60. So you're actually paying less than what you paid last year for unlimited feedings, but you also get breakfast and lunch and snacks and drinks and alcohol. I mean, you've eaten out recently, you know, it's $20-$30 to go eat lunch somewhere, you know, at a sit down restaurant or have breakfast. Like I was at Quick Trip and I got a couple items and a drink and it was $9 the other day. And so to sit down and eat as much food as you want for $60 for breakfast and lunch and get to do all the animal feedings and spend that time with your family, like, we feel like it's still a really good value.
Quality family time, huh?
That's right.
Well, congratulations. You all have done wonderful things with the park. I've watched it over the years, and it's truly been fun to watch and to find out what you do have. A lot of things going on at the Tanganyika Wildlife Park. I mean, the webpage is?
TWPark.com.
All right. Hey, Matt, thanks for being with us. Our guest is Matt Fouts.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And together, we host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Director, Tanganyika Wildlife Park in Goddard. That's all for this edition of Issues 2025. And of course, we'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.